SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down. Welcome to the Sanitarium. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Wild football game in Baltimore, Maryland. This afternoon between the Green Bay Packers and the Baltimore Ravens. You know that the Ravens have lost three straight games by a combined 4 points, right? So when you hear people talk, oh, the demise of the Ravens, they've lost three games by 4 points. They've lost two games in the last 3 weeks. It's amazing, isn't it? They've lost two games in the last 3 weeks by going for you have to wonder if you just would have kicked the extra point after what would have happened after the fact. Hey, listen, Huntley played amazing. They didn't lose that game today because of Lamar Jackson wasn't there. And if anything, Huntley throws a better ball than Lamar does. It was kind of crazy. I didn't like the play call. I don't mind going for it in that instance. I'm more of an overtime guy. You know what I mean? Like, let's take this to overtime. We got Justin Tucker. Let's just see. Let's take it to overtime. But you're playing Aaron Rodgers. You're on the 2-yard line, and I can understand, all right, let's just go for the win right now, which I don't have a problem with. And when he went for the win last time, he said he did it not because he was trying to be cute, because he didn't have anyone, he was out of bodies to throw out there if it went to overtime. But nevertheless, this is two games you've lost by 1 point here. And then they lost to Cleveland by 2 points. Three losses in a row by a combined 4 points. My problem was not going for it. My problem was the actual play call. And we were live on the air, and I said, don't do this, don't do this. I said, if you're going to go for it, make sure just run the ball with the quarterback, right? You've got Huntley. He was running around everywhere. He's fast as hell. He looks like Lamar Jackson, except he can throw it better. So it was like, just let him run it in. Like, come on, man. You're telling me you don't have one run play for this guy that's like, yeah, you can't stop that. Like, there should, you know what I mean? I don't understand this for these teams in the NFL from the 2-yard line. And you see it in college, where the college teams actually have plays ready for this stuff. I've watched all these bowl games so far. I almost want to write it down and go, oh, that was a good play, and explain it and talk about it after. But, you know, I have so many plays, so many games, et cetera. But, man, I've seen like 4, 5, 6 great 4th-and-short calls. Great, just great stuff. Where it's like, oh wow, like yeah, that. Well, that was easy, but like, oh, you didn't see that. You know what I mean? Just simple stuff, man. You know what I mean? Like these teams that overthink things, or do the same thing over and over again. It's baffling to me. Like me and Joe Ranieri were on, and Joe Ranieri said, "Well, you got to go to Mark Andrews here," and I said, "No, you got to run the ball." And I said, "They're going to go." You know what I mean? And what happened? They had Mark Andrews. There were like 4 Packers there around him, man. There was one guy on him. They were double-teaming him, and there was 2 dudes that knew right away. They knew right away. As soon as Huntley snapped the ball, watch the replay. As soon as Huntley snaps the ball, everybody on the Packers defense, in the secondary, the linebackers and the DBs, everybody started sprinting towards the right side of the end zone at the goal line. Look at the replay. You'll see. There's 2 Packers there, and there's 2 more that are just about to show up, right? And they got there from the other side. And they knew. Everyone knew. Oh, yeah, they're running the same play. They tried the same play against Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and it didn't work. Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. It's chaos. It's carnage. It's a Sunday Bloody Sunday. Let's do this thing. Ian Cameron will step up and in and join us a little bit later on in Level 3. It's just you and me for the next little while. And we've got a lot of stuff to break down, get you caught up to date with, to rage about, to predict, and everything else in between. So let's get started right now. Tom Brady, wow. Tom Brady just has serious problems with the New Orleans Saint defense for whatever reason. And I'll tell you what the reason is, because I heard Bruce Arians talk about it after the game. And Tom Brady did. I got to tell you, too, if you close your eyes, but when Tom Brady is in a good mood, he's a pretty, you know, he's a funny guy, and, you know what I mean, he's got charisma a little bit. You know what I mean? He's showing a lighter side. He's pretty much bland, but, you know, that's by choice. Like, he's not that bland in real life. He's got that sort of veneer around him. But when he loses, right, he's not in a good mood. Now, number one, he hung around tonight after the game. I caught that. If you guys noticed that. He did shake hands after the game. And a lot of times after he loses, sometimes he won't shake hands if he doesn't like you. Or number two, he'll do the quick sort of, yeah, whatever, and the Urban Meyer handshake, and yeah, whatever. He won't even look at you. He'll just sort of stick his hand out and keep walking. He actually hung around the middle of the field. You can see a couple of Saint players came up to him, and they had a little laugh. You know, you could tell Brady wanted to get out of there, but, you know, I think it's sort of like Kobe, where he's been around a long time. He's like, you know, I'm gonna try to be cooler to these younger players now and stuff, instead of like blowing everyone off all the time. Right, so I can sort of see that with Brady. But after in the press conference, man, does he sound like Bill Belichick. What is it about the Saints? I don't know. They made plays and we didn't. Like, he went right into the Belichick mode. It was like, wow, you close your eyes, man. You can talk about these guys not being together anymore. They're one and the same, man. Like, right? Like, he was one and the same. He's tossing Microsoft tablets around. I wouldn't look at that as a bad thing if I was Microsoft. I mean, look how tough our tablets are. Tom Brady threw it. But basically, they were just talking about the quick pressure and dropping safeties back. And Arians admitted after the game, like, he said, yeah. He goes, I've never been able to figure their secondary out. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Oh, yeah! Let's do this thing. Late Night Anger Match progress continues. I am RNC, the pencil players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between breaking it down. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, the sanitarium, the crazy house. This is it. Welcome. I'm the professor here. I'm the therapy, late night anger management therapy session here for you. So you look at the New Orleans Saints and their dominance over Tom Brady, and what is it? It's not Tom Brady. Right, it's, you know what, and I'm thinking, you know, when pitchers hit their pitches, and the other team knows, it's not like they're stealing the stuff, but it's like basically they figured it out, where it's like, yeah, listen, man, when he puts his glove up like that, it, you know what I mean, he's gonna do the splitter, right? When he, you know what I mean, when he sort of tweaks his knee a little bit, guys, watch for his knee, he's gonna throw a curveball, right? Like, there's little like tendencies and there's little things that pitchers will do. You'll hear pitchers talk about it after. What was wrong out there? And they'll be like, I don't know. Like, it's like they knew what was coming, right? It was one of those deals. And that's what it's like for Tampa right now with the Saints. And it's not like a Tom Brady thing, because Arians talked about it after the game, where he said that. He said, I've always, and he didn't say Tom, he said I. He said, I've always had problems with their secondary. And he explained it. He started getting into football detail. He said they're very good. He said they've been playing together for a while. They're very good. They anticipate what you're going to do very well. And he talked about how he said they dropped their safeties back. And he says it confuses us. he said it confuses. He goes, they dropped their safeties back. He goes, they got a good pass rush. And he goes, they dropped their safeties back, and it's causing us problems. And then he said, it's always caused me problems. And he said, it's caused me problems forever. Like, before, he insinuated, like he said, like, basically, like, before Brady got there. Right? That just, whatever. It's, you know what I mean? But they're division rivals, too, right? So, division teams are going to know each other very well. And sometimes you can figure out people's tells. So, like I said, because you look at this, it almost was like the Saints knew what was coming all the time. right? It was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, oh, yeah, they're running a slant here now, right? That happens. That, you know, look, Dallas with, you know, it was famous. It was infamous, actually, a couple of years ago. The Dallas Cowboys were playing, and Dez Bryant was coming out of the huddle, and the guy that covered Dez Bryant went and lined up where Dez was going to line up before he did. And Dez got there, and Buddy told him point blank, he goes, man, you guys are predictable. I feel sorry for you. Like, basically, can you imagine, like, the defense knowing that much that, yeah, yeah, this is what Garrett's going to do on this play, so just go there. Like, they knew, and they told Dez, they said, we know what you're going to do all the time. Like, they told him point blank. They said, man, we feel bad. Like, the DBs and the wide receivers will talk to each other a lot during the game, right? Right, so like the DBs were telling Dez all game, we know, and they were calling the plays before, right? They would call the plays. So like basically the Cowboys would come out of the huddle, get into their formation, and the other team, it was the Eagles. The Eagles just started calling it. They were like, yeah, 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 boom, boom, boom. And they knew exactly what it was going to be every time. And it goes back actually to the Rams and the Patriots, where it's the same thing. In the first half of that Super Bowl, Tom Brady's first Super Bowl that he won, they knew what was coming, except they knew what was coming because I don't know how, right? They cheated, like essentially. Did they spy on the practice? I don't know. From what I gather, and I spoke to someone on the Patriots about it, and they sort of laughed and chuckled it away, but they didn't, you know what I mean? It's kind of known, but I can't tell you right now, oh, yeah, this is the story and how they got the plays, but the Patriots knew. The Patriots knew the Rams' first 30 plays of the game in that Super Bowl. Like, it was the same thing. Like, the Rams were before the Rams would line up, the Patriot players were calling the plays out. Like, they were literally calling it out. And, you know, it was Isaac Bruce. I'm going to look it up later, actually, just, you know, to get the backstory. Isaac Bruce talked about it. Torrey Holt, the wide receivers, right? They were saying, yeah, we caught on that they knew our plays. And not like, oh, from good scouting. No, no, no. Like, they knew our plays. And it's not a coincidence. Guys, the Rams got, like, shut out in the first half of that game, and they scored 17 points in, like, a burst in the second half. Like, the Rams actually caught on that, you know, listen, we've got to scrap whatever our little plans were. We need to scrap it. We got to shake this up because they know what we're doing. They know our playbook. Like, they knew, like, the Patriots knew. The first, I don't know if they knew, because the Rams were famously scripting plays, right? They were one of the teams that boasted about it and stuff. And they, like, everyone knew the Rams are, it's basically scripted. So basically it's crazy, but teams will script the first drive, right? Or the first couple of drives. Because once the game starts and the score starts to change, you lose control. You can't, like, it's like trying to control the weather or life. You can't control your everything all the time. But you can control the start, right? All right, on the first series, we're going to throw the ball here. We're going to run the ball on second down. We're going to do this. And if it works on the next first down, we're doing, like, they actually had, like, the script, right, like, played out. And I swear the Patriots knew it. So I'm telling you right now, I don't know. It's almost like the Saints know what the Bucs are going to run. Not to mention it didn't help that everybody freaking got hurt. Right, Fournette got hurt, Godwin got hurt, Evans got hurt, everyone got hurt. And my fantasy, congratulations to John Gabby, who I'm playing. I haven't even looked at the score. I don't have the heart to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I haven't looked at the score, but whatever. I know I'm going to lose. I had Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette in my playoff lineup tonight. They didn't score, whatever. Like, I'm done. Just like that. Nice little run. At least we made the playoffs. But, man, this stuff is random and annoying. It just is. I think, you know, I wouldn't have won anyways if we did most points. I think I would have finished, like, fourth or something. But I'm starting to think that's the way to go. That's, like, the true essence, right? You get a team. Who has the most points at the end of the year? This head-to-head stuff and matchup on a week-to-week basis, it's too random. In fact, I've always had a problem with this with fantasy football. Like, the best guy, the best team doesn't really win. It's sort of, well, you know, three guys got hurt in one game and I lost. It's, you know, it's a little random for my liking. No excuses. Like I said, congratulations. Congratulations. And the winner's going to get $1,600, the loser $800. And it doesn't look like it's going to be me. So let's get you caught up to date with the updated standings right now. I see we're up against it. We're always up against it. We're up against it, but we got time. The Kansas City Chiefs are the one seed. Things, you know what things are interesting? We haven't talked about this. Oh, Mac Jones and the Patriots. Mac Jones. Yeah, well, as soon as the Patriots aren't winning 17-3 and Mac Jones has to actually try to win a football game, it becomes a problem. Right? That's the whole thing with the New England Patriots. I told you guys this last week when everyone was praising the Patriots. I said the Chiefs are the dangerous one right now, not the Patriots. The Chiefs are the one on a seven-game win streak. And it's all about playing your best football at the right time. And you look at the Tennessee Titans. They had a great start. They got injured. They peaked too soon. Arizona Cardinals peaked too soon. I don't think they're going to be able to flick the switch and turn it back on, the Cardinals. I think they peaked too soon. I think you look at a team like the Rams have not peaked too soon. Maybe the Rams are ready to peak, right? There's certain trajectories to get here. Green Bay is just looking to go wire to wire, essentially, here. All right, and it's not a surprise. They've, you know, they're 13-3 in their last two years, 26 wins. So the Chiefs are the one seed, the Patriots are the two seed. But if the Bills beat the Patriots next week, then suddenly the Bills climb the ladder. And then all that panicking about the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills are in first place again. That's another thing we said, too. I didn't get in on that. I can't lie. I didn't bet on it. I'm a moron. I should have got in on the Bills to win a division when it was like plus 250 the other day. My future picks have been straight fire. But you got to have confidence to pull the trigger even when the chips are down on the futures.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, look! There's a big crowd. Welcome us back, even though we lost.
Hey, I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football? Let's see if you can catch a rock.
Thanks, Mean Gene. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Throwing it down Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Ian Cameron will join us in Level 3. So as we were discussing the AFC picture, so Kansas City are the top seed right now. New England are the two seed. Tennessee are the three seed. Cincinnati are suddenly in first place. So Bovey's going to come at me on Tuesday's show. We always get into it about this division. Although Baltimore have been, you know, just beaten down by injury on the defensive end. That's why they're losing, and they keep on missing these two-point conversions. So Indianapolis are the five seed. Chargers 6, Buffalo Bills 7, which is pretty insane because, you know, the Buffalo Bills, as it is right now, would play the New England Patriots in the playoffs if the playoffs started this week, but they don't. And there's a little caveat here, right? Because you're going to hear people talk. I guarantee you're going to hear people talk about, oh, if the Bills win and, oh, they could be only one game back at a one seed. No. Even if the Bills win, they would be behind the Titans because the Titans beat the Bills. So the Patriots are the two seed in first place. The Bills would be the three seed in first place. See what I'm saying? So if the Bills change spots here, then suddenly what I'm getting at, it would be the Chargers versus the Bills in the playoffs, which would be an interesting matchup. Josh Allen versus Justin Herbert. They're both very similar. And you could argue, whatever, that Herbert's been more consistent, actually, than Josh has. That'd be a hell of a matchup, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. So this is the update. Let's give you the standings, and we'll get into the odds. So KC's in first place overall, 10-4. They're the top seed right now. Patriots 9-5, 2 seed. Tennessee are the 3 seed. Cincinnati 4, Indianapolis. Chargers and the Bills. I tell you what, though. So the Ravens are suddenly on the outside looking in to get into the playoffs. And they're 8-6 right now. And you got Cleveland coming up tomorrow. Like, just a critical football game, obviously, for Cleveland. It's a playoff eliminator. If they win, they still probably don't make the playoffs. Right? I don't think Cleveland are going to make the playoffs. Even if they win, they're not going to make the playoffs. But if they lose, they're done. It's simple as that. You're done. All right? It's over for you. Pittsburgh kept their hope alive today. The thing is with Pittsburgh, they have that tie, which at the time seemed like a bad deal against Detroit, but that tie could come back and save them because the tie is better than the loss, right? The tie is better than the loss, so it could come into play a little bit later on. So looking at this, essentially, the Ravens are in a free fall right now, right? They're the ones that are suddenly on the outside looking in, and the Browns and the Steelers. The Dolphins are doing their thing where they've won six in a row. There's still football left here, guys. There's still football left, still 3 weeks left. Green Bay is starting to settle in right now as that top seed. 11-3, the number one seed right now in the NFC. The Dallas Cowboys are the two seed at 10-4. Tampa are now the three seed. Arizona are now the four seed, except I'll tell you what. The Rams are in play to win that division right now, coming back on Arizona. And of course, they play on Tuesday. The Cardinals are 10-4. The Rams are 9-4. San Francisco is cruising into the playoffs now. They're 8-6. They're comfortable with that playoff spot. And with the win, with the win, as we said last week, the New Orleans Saints, I think they were in like 12th at the time. With the win, the New Orleans Saints have just played themselves into the playoffs. Except, I should note, this could change, right? This could change. You got Philadelphia, we get into there's a million tiebreakers. So in other words, what we learned from today is Atlanta are done. All right, Atlanta are done. Now, it's crazy to say Atlanta are done because they're 6-8. We're saying Seattle are still alive, but at least Seattle are better than Atlanta, right? We know Atlanta, who they are who we thought they were. If Seattle lose to the Rams on Tuesday, that's bye-bye Seattle. You can eliminate them. As I stated, I said this earlier, 28 teams came in today still alive. Think how we're late in the season, 28 teams. Like, it's pretty much everyone's still alive here. All right, so there's the standings. Let's get into the odds, baby. That's what it's about. Oh, yes, to make playoffs. Minnesota Vikings, they have up right now. The only team, they're reloading. Minnesota Vikings to make the playoffs, plus 225. Yes. No. Minus 290. All right, so division odds right now. Man, the Buffalo, I said this too, the Buffalo Bills were like plus 250, plus 270. Right, it might even have been a little bit higher. Like, things got crazy, and I brought it up. I said, guys, if the Patriots lose to the Colts, and then the Bills win against the Panthers, and then the Bills beat the Patriots next week, then suddenly the Bills are in first place again. Remember I said we already cashed one ticket with them. I didn't do it. I didn't get in on it. Full disclosure, I'm honest about this. I'm not one of these people, I got it in. I didn't get it in. It's plus 130 right now. It's plus 130. I'm going to get it in. Even now at plus 130, I already won a Bills division. You know what I mean? I told you guys the story about how I cashed out. And I won. They paid me because the Bills were up so earlier in the season. So now I could hit them twice for this. So the Patriots are minus 170 to win the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills are plus 130. The Miami Dolphins are 100-1. So Dolphins aren't mathematically eliminated from winning the division yet. They're not going to, but this is what the Dolphins do every year, man. We talked about it last week. The Dolphins get hot every year at the end of the year, miss the playoffs, screw over their draft pick, where they're going to draft, get hyped up for the next year, struggle again out of the gate, get hot again at the end of the year. It's like 3 years in a row like this stuff with these guys. The AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals are now plus 160. What's my parlay, actually? I played a crazy division future parlay. Oh, here it is. Oh, God, it's good, but it's not. It was good in theory at the time, man. It was good in theory at the time. I see it here. Cincinnati Bengals, LA Chargers, and the LA Rams all to win a division. And this was like, when did I place this bet? Let's see the history. What date? It pays a lot. It's like, it was like 20-1, 25-1. Man, the Bengals are now in first place. The Rams are on the verge of being in first place. It's the Chargers that are going to get me. But I did bet on the Chiefs the other day. Like I said, you put these futures in, sometimes you're going to have to contradict yourself or just not bet the game. So Cincinnati or plus 160. I could swear I put it. I thought I put like that parlay in, but I put each team in as well. Let me see here. I have a Charger to win a division. Dear God, I put $250 on it too. It's a little more than I would have probably thought. LA Rams to win a division. These are like in-season plays. LA Rams to win a division. 150 on that one. And then I played the Bengals, Chargers, Rams to win a division. But I didn't play the Bengals outright. I have a lot of futures here. I have a lot of futures. There's a few of them that are really up in the air here. This is one of the cooler things I did, actually, though. We talk about this on Game Time Decisions. And I'm pretty much like the only host. Cam will talk about units a bit, but even Cam doesn't do it much. Most people, though, aren't talking about their bets because they don't want you to know how much they're betting. They don't want you to know how little they're betting. Right? That's what it is. Right? Like people like don't say, oh, you know, I've got $20 on it. Or, you know what I mean? I've got whatever. I'm pretty open and honest about it. But I like the round numbers. You know what I mean? It's like an obsessive compulsive thing with me. I talk about this with Dave Sharapan on Game Time Decisions, so this is when Georgia were owning the college football world and people sort of discounted Alabama, right? Alabama had lost one game and people sort of, oh, Alabama. I saw Alabama was plus 280 at the time. And I was like, you know, it's pretty good value, actually. I was like, they're going to make, all they have to do is make the play. You know what I mean? I was like, that's not bad. Like, I wouldn't give up on Bama. And so I jumped in and I started figuring out, all right, how much do I have to bet to get it to 1,000? And it turned out it was $286, but I'm insane. This is where my craziness comes into play. I'm like Rain Man or something. It really pissed me off. I was trying to get it to exactly $1,000 and I spent like 25 minutes trying to do it. I tried like $279.72 and what happens? And it went over. I was like, I don't want it to go over 1,000. I want it to be exactly 1,000. Exactly 1,000. I don't know. Some of you tuning in right now probably think I'm crazy, but it's true. So maybe I am. I'm being honest. So, but it actually like physically, mentally, like, you know what I mean? Like I was getting a headache that I was getting mad. I was like, how hard is this? Right, and I had to go through and when it's plus 280, so you got to think, all right, so it's 10, you know. So I'm going through like every possible like combination, and it's going over, it's going under, it's going whatever. So the closest I could get to was $1,000, $1,000 and $1. I got $1,000 and $1. On Alabama, and I finally gave up. I was like, all right, you're insane. You can't spend all night trying to make this an even 1,000. It's like the book wouldn't let me out of spite. They knew what I was trying to do. So, yeah, I've got $1,000 in my back pocket if Alabama win. I put 286 on it. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Okay, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Late Night Anger Management Crisis is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Throwing it down to my dear 1090, SiriusXM Channel 159. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Ian Cameron will join us a little bit later on. We'll run through, we'll get back to tomorrow's games. Get into the bowl game a little bit, too. We got a bowl game tomorrow afternoon, which is cool. So we got football all day long. And we got football on Tuesday. We got football. It's go time. There's one game on Wednesday. There's a bowl game on Wednesday night. So we got football every day. It was a lighter late card today. The NFL schedule has been fractured coming into this week, obviously. But on the plus side, we've got two games tomorrow. And for those of us on the West Coast as well, that's an early start, actually, isn't it? Two in the afternoon. Monday afternoon football, not MNF. It's MAF. Monday afternoon football. We talked with Mo Khan about this game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring slugfest. I'm not discounting the Raiders' chances here. There's a reason why the Cleveland Browns are only three-point favorites. Shouldn't they be bigger favorites? They're not for a reason, right? Because the odds makers know this is going to be a close, low-scoring football game, and I'm buying into the number here. I believe what the odds makers believe with this game. I think it will be a close, low-scoring game. So look at the divisions right now. Most of them are already like washes, right? Most of them, there's nothing to do with them. You know, like Tampa Bay are 300-1 to win a division. The Cowboys are like 1,000-1, whatever. Like everyone's like these massive numbers, like minus 10,000, whatever. They're 100-1, right, in gambling terms. But so they're 100-1. So there's three divisions that you could still say, all right, if you want to get in on here. And we're talking about the AFC East. The New England Patriots are minus 170 right now. The Buffalo Bills are plus 130. If you look at the Bills' schedule, and there was a lot of talk about this, that it eases up, and it does ease up. It does. This is the last tough game that the Buffalo Bills play, with all due respect to the Falcons and the New York Jets. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Falcons game and the Jets game are both in Buffalo. So this is the last road game of the year for the Buffalo Bills, and it's redemption time against the New England Patriot team that embarrassed you on national television last week in a wind gust that'll be remembered for a long time, in a football game that the Patriots only ran the ball three times. This game is massive. It's massive for everything. It's massive for the division. It has ramifications for everybody else because you would think, well, it doesn't matter, but no, it does. As I stated, like Tennessee has a vested interest in this game. Like other teams have vested interests here. All right. And if the Bills lose, they've got big problems. All right. Suddenly, because you got other teams that are right there, but the Bills have an easier two games after. But if the Bills win. Now, so where I'm going with this game, though, from a Buffalo Bill perspective is it's everything. That, you know, people talk about how big the game was last, whatever. You know what it reminds me of, actually? It's sort of like it's like the Michigan Wolverines, who I'm a fan of. It's like the Michigan Wolverines. Yeah, it sucked losing to Michigan State. I didn't like it. It blew. But whatever. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, we lost. And I was the first one to say it when everyone was crying and panicking about that game after on Sunday. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, Michigan, whatever. I said, Michigan State are going to stumble. Michigan control their own destiny. And there's bigger games coming up. And people won't even remember this. And boom. Anyone talking about that game anymore? Nope. Doesn't matter. They're in the playoffs. And it's the same thing. If the Buffalo Bills go into Foxborough next week and win the football game, doesn't matter whether they win 2-0 or 21-20 or 41-17. They go into Foxborough and they win. Nobody's going to be talking about them, you know, not being able to stop the run that night. And, oh, they ran the ball. They only threw the ball three times. It's, you know what I mean? It's revisionist history. But I'll tell you what. The Buffalo Bills season is on the line. The Buffalo Bills season is on the line next Sunday. And it's like it's one of those, like, lose-lose situations if you're the Bills, to be honest. Because if the Bills win the game, so whatever. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean you're winning the Super Bowl because you win the game. If you lose the game, you're done. Yeah, you're the. Even if they got into the playoffs, okay, if they lose this game and they got into the playoffs, their emotional, their confidence would be shot, right? It would be like they'd be exposed for real. Like, and I'm calling out for what it is, as someone that loves the Buffalo Bills, but the Bills cannot lose this football game. You can't lose. It's like Georgia was sort of exposed. Sorry to pick on you, Georgia, but you know what I mean, against Alabama? And listen, I'm a Bills fan, and the Patriots are the Alabama. Like, we have the same problem. We can't, like, finish these guys off. We knock them down, but they're back up now. And if the Bills win the game, the level of confidence in that room, the national perception with the media and just everything, and everyone's going to be back on the Bills wagon, right? The Bills have not won a big game in a couple of months. It's been a pattern for them, right? It just has. And yeah, they're racking up some wins here, and the season's not a disaster, but if you go back and you look at their season, I mean, that Chief game was in week 5. All right, so they beat the Chiefs 38-20 in week 5. Week 6, they lost 34-31 to the Titans. They get the Dolphins. They beat 26-11. They beat 26-11. Then they lose to the Jags. Then they beat the Jets. The Colts smashed the Bills in Buffalo 41-15. Bills beat the Saints when the Saints had no one playing on Thanksgiving. Then they lose to the Patriots. They lose to the Buccaneers, although they played hard in the second half and did get screwed over by the refs. But who doesn't when you play Tom Brady? And now, okay, you beat the Panthers again. So, all that's, none of this matters, right? It all comes down to this. Because basically, if the Bills lose this game, and then they beat up on the Falcons, and they beat up on the Jets in the last two games, they get into the playoffs, and they're the 7th seed or whatever, so what? Right, you're going to go on the road, you're going to win, maybe you lose, and there's going to be no confidence in your room, and you guys are going to know, and everyone's going to know, we're not winning 3 games in a row the way we're playing. You beat the Patriots next week, and then you beat the crap out of the Falcons, and you beat the crap out of the Jets, and you go into the playoffs as the AFC's division winner on a 4-game win streak. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. It's not about your record. It's about how are you playing at the time. And this is the catapult. We know you can beat Atlanta. We know you can beat the Jets. We know this. Can you beat the Patriots in a big game? Right? You didn't last week. Right? And, well, this happened and that happened. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. It all happened. If ends and butts were candies and nuts, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. So it doesn't matter what your intentions were. It's only the end result. And the end result hasn't been good. And if you're Buffalo, let's be real. Coming into this year, anything short of a Super Bowl win and appearance short of was a failure. You were in the AFC Conference Championship game last year, and everybody pegged you to be the team to beat this year, even over Kansas City. The Bills being a wild card would be a major disappointment. And they could talk, and you'll hear Josh Allen, you'd hear them all say, we can still achieve our goals, and we control our own destiny, even though we're a wild card. And whatever, man. Wild card teams don't win Super Bowls, okay? Yeah, Tom Brady did in the Buccaneers, but he's Tom Brady. You know, Josh Allen and the Bills aren't going on the road and winning 3 times in a row and just knocking everybody off and going to the Super Bowl. It's not going to happen that way. They need to win the division. I mean, it was just a couple of weeks ago, it was about the 1 seed. Now it's about they need to win the division, get that home game, and then who knows what happens, right? You play at home, maybe somebody else loses, you get another home game, etc. You don't know how the domino effect will play out once the playoff starts. All you can do is control your own destiny. And I know that the Bills are sort of their better road team than they are at home, but it doesn't mean you want to tempt fate and play every game on the road. Like, if I'm comfortable with this, right? If I'm a Bills fan, I'm comfortable with the Bills winning the division, getting a home playoff game, winning the game, and then going on the road. It is what it is. I can live with that. They'd have to go on the road, and then they'd have to win that game, and then they'd have to go on the road again in the AFC Conference Championship game unless somebody else got, unless there was an upset along the way. So it's just like, to me, I look at it, it's sort of like Georgia. Georgia have the benefit of being off again, but like, if you're Georgia, do you really believe, does anyone really think if they played Alabama that they would beat them? Oh, it'll be different this time? It wouldn't be. It won't be, right? The Bills need to change that perception. Massive football game. Sunday, December the 26th. You figure they would move it And I mean, it's such a big game and flex it, but it is the holiday weekend. What's the Sunday nighter next week? I don't even know. I haven't looked. So yeah, trying to figure out. I don't know who. I don't even know who's playing tomorrow. I don't even know who's in the lineup for the Cleveland Browns right now. How the hell am I going to tell you who's playing next Sunday night? Once I see it, I'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They pimped it on the show. Yeah, Washington and Dallas. Yeah, great. Well, whatever. People will be all hungover. So, yeah, they're not going to flex a Dallas. Ooh, God forbid you flex a Dallas Cowboy game. So, the Buffalo Bills, it's a 1 o'clock Eastern game. Buffalo and the Patriots. It's an interesting card next week. Rams and Vikings. We got football on Christmas Day, actually, as well. Just one game, Christmas Day. Indianapolis and Arizona. Christmas night, 8:15 Eastern time. And we got a bunch of NBA games, too. So current spreads right now, Browns -3, 41.5. Minnesota Vikings -6.5, 44.5. I'm a big believer in underdogs to begin with when it comes to football betting. And I'm a big believer in underdogs in the National Football League, and with good reason. Underdogs it's been a dog year. And we hear it all the time. Well, this team just sucks, and these numbers and that number and whatever, right? Like, so what I'm getting here is, do I trust the Raiders enough at +3? I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think either team can win this game. I think the Raiders are going to be in this game. I think the Raiders are born to be teased, right? This is a great game to tease, in my opinion. Raiders up to +10. Under 48.5. I don't believe it's going to be a track meet shootout. There's going to be a lot of running. The weather's not really a factor, but it's not like it's going to be beautiful. So I like the Raiders teased up to +10, and I like the under 48.5 in that 7-point teaser. And this is a shout out to everybody in Chicago and the Windy City. I know we got a lot of listeners there. And we've criticized the Bears being on TV a lot. We rip the Bears all the time. Looks like Nagy is going to get fired, but I'll tell you what, I'm liking the Chicago Bears in this football game. The Bears getting 6.5. I'll tell you why on the other side and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Interesting story. New York Times interviewed NASCAR driver Brandon Brown about that whole chant stuff, right? Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. And when it's really F Joe Biden. And when he got interviewed after he won the race, she said, oh, they're cheering your name. But they weren't. They were saying F Joe Biden. And she said, look, they love you. They're saying, let's go, Brandon. And it's become a big thing, obviously, right? In the political landscape, I ignore all that crap. It's toxic. It's cancerous. It'll kill you on whatever side. Like, live your own life. Don't feed into that beast and machine. But I just find it interesting. So that whole let's go Brandon thing, it's being around. Ron DeSantis in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, Republican, is selling T-shirts with the phrase. And he's never said anything, Brandon Brown, right? And people, look, it's NASCAR, so who do you think they support politically? But I don't know what every driver does, but as a whole, I'm talking about their fan base. So Brandon Brown's never said anything about this, and this is why he did the interview with the New York Times, and I'm sure he's going to get the fallout from the right-wing media, right? Oh, suck it. How dare you even talk to the New York Times? In which he basically said, I have zero desire to be involved in politics. And he goes on to say, like, he doesn't like this. He's not a fan of it. It spoiled his win. That, you know, people don't, you know what I mean? Like, they cheer this. It's not about him. It's a negative thing. And And he talked about, he gets in, you know, he just wants to be a race car driver. And he's not a politician. He doesn't talk about politics. And he doesn't want to talk about politics. He has nothing to do with it. And he doesn't want anything to do with it. And he knows he can't control it. But he's saying that, you know, he said, I'd prefer if they just said, let's go America. That's what he said. He said it's negative and he doesn't like it. But now you're going to see, they're going to use his name and they're going to tell him to suck it now, because that's what they'll do. They all cannibalize each other, these parasites, on all sides. Parasites!
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you. And nobody wants